Morning. Call to order the October 23rd, 2013 variance hearing. I'm Corey Teague, the Assistant Zoning Administrator and Acting Zoning Administrator through the end of this year. Scott Sanchez, our Zoning Administrator, is out on paternity leave through the end of the year. I'm joined by Ava Atahera Taylor, who is our Recording Secretary today. Just some housekeeping information regarding the order of presentations. The sponsor and or owners shall be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the five findings are met to justify a variance. The applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Supporters shall be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Opponents shall be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Applicants and owners shall be allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal if there's public comment in opposition. The zoning administrator may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public, and the zoning administrator may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement, or may indicate an inclination to grant with conditions, or deny, or may continue the item. Items on the consent counter are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator, and if you would like to speak on one of these items, please step forward now. However, there are no items on the consent calendar. Public comment at the end of the hearing shall be allowed for items not on the agenda, and that will also be limited to 3 minutes each. The criteria for justifying a variance is laid out in Section 305C of the Planning Code, and they state that in order to grant the variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributed to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding four, that the granting of such variance would not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and would not adversely affect the general plan. Please be aware that no decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the day of this hearing. If you wish to receive a copy of the decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet located at the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. The zoning administrator's action to grant or deny variance application may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the decision letter. No decision, again, is final until that decision letter is issued. Private conversations can be very disruptive to the hearing, so please conduct all private conversations outside of the hearing room. Please make sure that any cell phones you have are set to vibrate or silent or turned off. Also be aware that there will be no variance hearing in November due to Thanksgiving, and the next variance hearing will be on December 4th. Audio recordings of the variance hearings after January 1st, 2011 are available on the Planning Department's website as a link on the hearing agenda. And with that, we'll move to the calendar. And again, there are no items on the consent calendar, but moving to the regular calendar. Actually, Craig, just 1 second, because we're going to, first of all, I wanted to make you aware that item number 13 for 3124 Baker Street was withdrawn. But if anyone is here who would like to speak to that item, you can come up and speak now. Okay, seeing none, that item has been withdrawn. And then also, I would ask for your patience and understanding, but item number 10 for 824 Sanchez Street, we're going to hear that one first out of order due to a last-minute scheduling conflict. Again, I appreciate your patience and understanding for others in the audience, but we can go ahead and begin with that item on the regular calendar.
Okay, item number 10, case number 2013.0347V, 824 Sanchez Street, rear yard variance sought. You're the project sponsor. You have 5 minutes, sir.
My My name is John Maniscalco. I'm the architect and project sponsor for my clients, Mika and Noel Salmi. We're requesting a variance for rear yard setback. The existing house sits within the 45% rear yard setback required by the Dolores Heights Special Use District. Simply put, our goal is to preserve the existing site assets and characteristics, notably the mature trees in the public right-of-way, by placing our new home in the same location. On the diagram on the screen, you can see that there is a public zone in a very atypical configuration surrounding these lots, which is publicly owned land, which sets the property lines inbound of the typical relationship to the curb. This is also inclusive of very mature plantings on three sides of the property, three portions of the property, tracking the corner. The subject property is a single-family residence spanning two lots in an RH1 zoning district within the Dolores Heights Special Use District. The proposed project creates a new ecologically sound green single-family residence, and we're requesting the issuance of a variance to allow for nonconformance to the rear yard setback. We're doing this in order to preserve the footprint and building placement most similar to the existing structure, to minimize the proximity impact on mature public trees and plantings within the public right-of-way, and to mitigate concerns and achieve consensus with the immediately adjacent neighbors and community who have asked us to maintain the current house location to preserve the adjacent trees and plantings, which are a cherished community asset. The subject property is unique, though the two lots technically front Sanchez Street. A 15 to 30 foot deep public right-of-way exists between the front lot boundary and Sanchez Street sidewalk. The subject property is exceptional in its siting. Its existing primary facade is on Hill Street, which is along the long frontage. The landscape public right-of-way exists at the corner, and the existing curb cuts and garage access is also on that primary facade along Hill Street within the typical rear yard setback. The 45% rear yard setback line, as required by the Dolores Heights Special Use District, falls nearly through the center of the existing structure. Thus, literal enforcement of the rear yard setback requirement would result in a radical resiting of the single-family residence, creating undue hardship for the property owners. The applicant would be required to create new curb cuts and major sidewalk encroachments where there are none existing on Sanchez Street, excavate a driveway through the steeply sloped public right-of-way, destroying the mature public trees that exist, excavate a new garage at that east elevation, fill in otherwise retained soil depths up to 10 feet at the subsequently abandoned existing garage, and create significantly increased soil disturbance at the site. Typical of other properties in this neighborhood and district, the proposed project preserves the substantial property right to utilize a buildable area equivalent to that which is enjoyed by typical lots in the district, while respecting the needs of the community by minimizing impact on public trees and public land. We are looking to rebuild in a location that minimizes that impact to adjacent neighbors. Granting of this variance will not be material detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity, in that it will allow the proposed project to respect community needs and preserve that public right-of-way, achieve harmony with the adjacent neighbors based on conformity to pre-negotiated agreements on the site placement, to be sited with minimal changes to the footprint, and to use the existing location of curb cuts and garage entry, preserving existing street parking. Our project is keeping with the planning code and the general plan consistently. We enjoy the support of most of our immediate neighbors, as shown in the letters of support we've submitted, and have worked with all willing parties to address any issues as they've come up. We ask that you approve this variance, and thank you for your time. We're happy to take any questions.
You have to call for them.
Is there any public comment on this item?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Shouldn't take that long. So my name is Vale Reese. I'm the next door neighbor just immediately north of the property. And we appreciate what the new owners and developer are doing by keeping the existing, basically the existing footprint of the house. That's what this variance would allow. Otherwise, they'd have to establish a large backyard, which would move the whole property east toward Sanchez Street, which would actually encroach on some wonderful Monterey pines that are already existing. So I think they could have done a lot of different things with this property. I think they were actually quite conservative with it, and we're very pleased with what they're doing, and we very much support this variance, if that works for all of you.
Is this a time to speak in opposition?
Yes.
Sure.
Oh, my name is Daniel Sachs, and I live in the neighborhood. And, you know, he talks about replacing the existing footprint. This new house is going to be 5,700 square feet, and the existing house is not 5,700 square feet. It's a normal shape lot, rectangular, on flat streets. The neighbor's house at 818 Sanchez manages to put a 4,300 square foot house on a narrower lot, keeping the rear yard setback. We all have to follow the same rules. Trees are nice, but neither the Dolores Heights Special Use District or the variance requirements say anything about trees. It's about keeping in character with the neighborhood. And the neighborhood is houses front on the width, not on the length, as this house is fronted. And so I encourage you to deny the variance and force them to build a house that resembles other houses. He can still build a 4,000 to 5,000 square foot house and keep the required rear yard setback. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, then...
The sponsor.
Yeah, I was going to ask the sponsor to...
Can I get back in or no? I didn't use my whole 3 minutes. Is that okay?
Sure, 1 minute.
Thank you. When I said the footprint of the house, the actual footprint is similar. The house will be taller, but that's not what this meeting is about today. The meeting is about the variance. And certainly all the time that we've lived there since the late 1990s and for decades before, this is the existing situation. This house, the current house, has sat in this scenario with basically a front yard. It's not as though there's not going to be any yard. There is going to be yard. It's just front of the house, again, facing east. And, again, moving the whole structure to mimic the other houses, again, for us, it's going to really jeopardize potential views and, again, the existence of the trees. So we, again, support this variance as the immediate next-door neighbor.
Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, then public comment is closed. I did have a quick question for the project sponsor. I wonder if...
3 minutes to rebuttal.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you have 3 minutes to rebut.
I think our neighbor has done a good job of that. I think we understand the placement of the building pretty clearly, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, I just wondered if you could walk through the plans a little bit. Specifically, there are some that's kind of subterranean. If you could just maybe detail that a little bit.
Sure. I'd say that the majority of the structure, the house has been sited in such a way to feel like a two-and-a-half-story house at the top of a landscape zone which surrounds the property, which has been typical of the condition. There's a significant portion of the square footage, including the garage and the lowest floor of the building, that are entirely subterranean, with the exception of doors for egress on one side. So the actual appearance of the house is significantly reduced by comparison to the square footage numbers associated with it due to the excavation at that level. So there is currently a lower family room, playroom at the lowest floor, which is buried into the hillside, and a typical living, kitchen, dining room at the primary living level, and then 4 bedrooms at the upper level for my clients and their 3 children.
Okay, thank you. All right. Now, I don't believe there is any more public comment. Okay. And public comment is closed. And I will take this item under advisement. So we can move on to the next item.
We'll go back now to item number one. Item number one is case number 2013.0537V, 1750 Taylor Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Teague, Madam Secretary. I'm Craig Nikitas, representing the Royal Towers Apartments. located at this address. The site is an unusual one. It's quite large on the block and cruciform in shape, as you can see from the site diagram up here. It also has very unusual rear yard requirements with three segmented rear yards, assuming that the frontage is to the north on Green Street, which does provide the most code-complying configuration. There's very challenging topography here. It's an extremely sloped site, and in the southwest boundary of it, in the corner of the block, is located a recreation and parks property called Ina Cool Breath Park. Because the project was built prior to the establishment of current zoning requirements, it is a very tall building, not in conformity with the current zoning, and the siting has resulted in both the towers themselves and a decked terrace and swimming pool located within parts of the required rear yards. The project before us is to build a small pool enclosure, which will be glazed on three sides and with operable panels on the roof and walls, which would obstruct the rear yard. The eave height at the east side would be about 6 feet, rising to a ridge about 14 feet 4 inches above the roof terrace, and then dropping to a retaining wall adjacent to the park with a height of approximately 8 feet 4 inches. I think the hardship is evident in terms of the design of the building, the siding, and the challenging topography. We believe that there will be no detriment to surrounding private property, and I'd like to take some time now to discuss an issue which has arisen from public comment regarding the possible obstructing of public views from the park. The diagram here shows the pool enclosure, which would be constructed in this small green rectangle. There's a view corridor that runs down Vallejo Street, shown by this lower red arrow, and sweeping northward to a little bit beyond Coit Tower. You see Pioneer Park here and Coit Tower within the yellow dashed circle. Because of the elevations involved and the relatively low height of the roof, we firmly believe that there will be no obstruction of this view. Just to set the context, this is the existing pool terrace. The retaining wall adjacent to the park is topped by wood slats with wooden finials. Those will be removed and replaced with a slightly lower concrete retaining wall, for which the permit has already been approved. The height of those finials is 12 feet 7 inches above the pool deck. So the green lines that you see here represent the shape of the roof near the center line of the project. The lower green line represents the end conditions, and there are two panels slightly higher than those toward the middle, and then the two middle panels are represented by this higher green line. The height to the highest section, which retracts over the section adjacent to it, then both of those retract over the fixed end pieces. That height above the roof deck will be about 14 feet 4 inches. In other words, less than 2 feet higher than the tops of these existing finials. The reason I want to relate it to those finials is because they're visible from the park, and that will give us a sense of how high the new structure will be. In the park are three terraces which contain benches and seating. It's a well-used park, and we're very sensitive to the view issues from it. From the top tier, there will be absolutely no visibility of this structure. From the middle tier, you would see from this point, you'd be looking down on the roof, and all it does is obscure slightly the base of the building beyond on the street. Unfortunately, this was taken on a foggy day, so you don't really appreciate the good view from this, which is the lowest level of benches looking toward the bay and toward Coit Tower. But you can see the shoulder of Telegraph Hill rising here, and you can see even the lowest part of Telegraph Hill, well away from Coit Tower over here, is well above the green line that's representing the line of the new ridge. The red line highlights the height of those existing wooden finials that will be removed and replaced. So I believe this demonstrates that there's no impact on public vistas, and thus the project would meet both the variance findings and the requirements of the priority policies in Section 101B. I'm available for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in support of the project? Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to the project? Okay, seeing no public comment, I'll close public comment. And I have a quick question for project sponsor. Can you provide a little more detail about the actual structure? Is it going to be a custom-built structure, a prefabricated structure? Just like to get a better handle on that structure.
It'll be both custom and prefabricated. It's made of aluminum extrusion and glazed panels, and I have a rendering here that might help you. This is a bird's eye view looking obliquely down at it. Ina Coolbrith Park is back here. The retaining wall I mentioned is shown here in a kind of yellowish color, but it will be concrete. And then the aluminum and glass panels that comprise the other three walls and the retractable roof are shown there as well. It's a very transparent structure.
Can you speak a little bit as to why this specific design is requested?
Yeah, the pool itself is a very useful amenity and an important one to the shareholders in the apartment building. It's often rendered unusable because it's exposed at this hill and very, very windy. So some enclosure was needed. It didn't make sense to do an opaque enclosure, and letting the light in seemed to be a reasonable design priority. The retractable walls and roof, which slide back toward each end from the center line, with this roof and wall panel sliding over this one and those two sliding over the end one, will allow the structure to be open on those days when the weather would be nice for swimming and when it's not windy.
Do you have any sense of other open space for this project on site, whether private decks or roof decks or terraces? I'm just trying to get a sense of how much other open space there is available to tenants.
Yeah, I understand. I would point out that this doesn't take away any of the open space that's there now, and in fact, it makes it more useful.
Sure.
But actually, Jay Watt, who is here, who's very familiar with the building and has worked on it for a while, I'll let him answer that question for you.
So to answer your question,
There
are roof decks on, three sides of the building. The pool and pool area itself is actually on a lower level away from the building, so there are rather generous, patio areas, like I said, on three sides of the building. And then on the fourth side, there's the large parking area off of Taylor Street.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I don't believe I have any other questions. No other public comment. I will take this matter under advisement. Thank you.
Moving on to item number number two. Case number 2013.0409V, 991 Ines Avenue, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Sure. Hopefully this won't take that long. Good morning, Mr. Teague, Madam Secretary. My name is Alex Landsberg. I am the project owner. Here, what we are proposing to do is fill in about 100 square feet or so underneath an existing patio or under an existing box, essentially, addition that was built shortly after the house was constructed in 1937. The addition was constructed in 1943. What we're looking for is a variance on the rear yard setback because the box, which was constructed before this current planning code, sits about a few feet into the existing rear yard setback. The principal problem with the property and why this is really the only option available to us is that it is about 35 feet above the street. I have a photo here on my phone that I'll make big. And you can kind of see, this is taken from the street itself. You can see just how high the property, the yellow house, sits on the back of the house or in the back from the street. In terms of the specific conditions, this is obviously an extraordinary case. There's very little front yard existing. If we were to construct anything on the front, it would actually impact our lower unit tenant in the legal secondary unit that is in there. Literal enforcement of this would really make everything impractical, and it would probably force the eviction of the tenant. It's clearly necessary for enjoyment because it'll enable us to take in a portion of our property that's covered, that doesn't push into the yard, and it's just basically open storage space. It doesn't materially affect anybody. There's a tall fence of about 15 feet owned by the housing authority right behind us, and they're uphill, and it's clearly in harmony with the planning code in that it doesn't affect anything on the in the public right-of-way or public vistas or anything like that. Thank you.
Is there anyone here to speak in support of the project? Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to the project? Okay, seeing no public comment is closed. And I was looking at one issue, a little clarification. I'm going to ask the project sponsor very quickly. And so, and this building was also, it's a potential historic resource, right?
It was considered a potential historic resource. We worked with the historic preservation team to really demonstrate that it wasn't. It hasn't been formally accepted, but there was actually a survey done of the India Basin neighborhood that formed the basis of the context statement for the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Anyway, going back and forth, what we ended up negotiating was agreement to use similar type siding in the new addition, maintain vertical orientation to the windows, largely because we're going to be reusing a lot of existing low-E windows and really really making nondescript changes that won't be visible from the street.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And with that, I will also take this item under advisement. Thank you.
Moving to item number 3. Case number 2013.0848V, 419 Broderick Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Chris Donio. I'm the owner of the 419 Broderick Street, and this is Kyle Brunel, who's the architect. Our project, our variance application is to build a second flight of stairs from we have a two-unit building from the second floor to our existing roof deck. So the reason we need a variance is because our, like most of these projects, we have a small rear yard that encroaches on is smaller than the minimum required, and we were granted a variance to build stairs to go down from our unit to the lower level, but need a variance to build two levels of stairs rather than just one, so we can go from our unit up to a roof deck that we are also have a approved permit for. This project will have very little effect on the neighbors. We are already building stairs that go, that it does not encroach any further into the rear yard. It only goes higher from our second floor to the roof deck, and will enable us to finish a project, which the goal of the project was to replace the existing rear deck, which was also non-compliant but was built before an indeterminate time years ago before, I'm sure, the current planning code, and well before we owned the building, and had non-compliant stairs that were dangerous to use and a deck that was structurally unsound. So the goal of the project was to make our rear deck and stairs meet current safety standards and also improve the aesthetics of the entire rear yard. So we feel that this project, by moving our deck from its original location on the second floor to the roof deck, we've actually increased the number, the amount of space in the rear yard, and need the second stair to actually make this roof deck usable, because otherwise we would have to build stairs inside our house, which is would require substantial expense and would take away from the interior of our building. We feel that this project on the whole will improve the backyard, our backyard, and represents quite an improvement relative to backyards in our area. Our block is full of yards that have non-compliant and have decks that severely encroach on the backyard, so ours will actually be one of the most open backyards in the neighborhood. And I don't think I have any other comments.
Thank you.
So I'm Kyle. I'm the designer for this space. Good morning. One of the reasons we did the roof deck on the roof was so that we could minimize the impact in that rear yard space. The existing egress stair from the second level down is actually within the minimum 6-foot encroachment into the rear yard for required means of egress. So what we did was we maintained within that footprint, and now this stair becomes a means of egress from the deck itself. It would be essentially an amenity stair, but also once one is actually up on the deck, it's required for egress to get down. So we feel that the solution is a reasonable one, not only from an impact standpoint for the rear yard, but also from a usability standpoint. It doesn't affect shading or shadows for the neighbors on either side. And it was the smallest footprint from a configuration that we could do and still comply with the requirements of the code.
Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in support of the project? Okay. Anyone here to speak in opposition to the project? Seeing no public comment, public comment is closed, and I have a couple of quick questions for the project sponsor. So just to be clear, so the existing deck is already constructed. It's just this providing
yes.
access. But right now, the existing deck doesn't have access.
The existing deck has no access. The
okay.
existing roof deck, well, this project is under construction right now, but the
yeah.
existing roof deck will have no access without the second stair. Right.
Right. So there's no, it's not part of this proposal or another proposal to, at this time, to add access at that level. I'm not sure, there weren't floor plans in the plan. So the space directly adjacent to the deck, is that just attic
that's
space?
That's attic space.
It's
okay. That's,
it's not
yeah.
finished. It's not.
It's storage space that's accessed via a retractable stair or
gotcha.
Yeah, ladder in our interior house. So there's no plans to access the deck from the interior. It's only the intent was to access it always from the outside.
Okay. And would the deck be accessible to both units or only one?
The deck would be accessible to both units via this two levels of stairs, the stairs that go from the ground level to our unit, and then you continue on using a scissor-style stair all the way up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm inclined to take this under advisement as well. Thank you.
Moving to item number 4. Case number 2013.0712V, 653 Fell Street. Lot size, rear yard, open space, and parking variances sought. Project sponsor for this project, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi, my name is Guillermo Loyola. Here to discuss the subdivision of a parcel, split it into two parcels. One facing Fell Street and the other facing Hickory Street. We are approaching this with the intent of creating the two lots, Currently, there's a detached accessory building in the rear portion of the lot that faces Hickory, and there's an existing duplex that faces Fell Street. The subdivision would actually enhance the use on Hickory Street. There are several properties that have in the past been subdivided. Here, I'll show this one here. So all the ones highlighted in yellow, including the one that is immediately adjacent, parcel number 23, as it shows on a previous plot plan, has been subdivided and approved by your department here. And our intention is to do the same and subdivide so that we can create future residential use in the back at some point in time. There's no impact to any of the landscaping that fronts the property. There will be a modification of a one-story structure that is part of the duplex, which is approvable by the building department. We've already received indication from them on that regard. The planning code, if it were to be literally enforced, would prevent us from doing this, so we seek this variance with the understanding that you have granted it in the past to other property owners on Hickory. The existing use on the lot is limited. The variance would necessarily preserve the enjoyment of the owner's property. There would be no adverse effect to traffic along Fell Street, minimal effect on Hickory, and it certainly doesn't affect any commercial or other use in the area. Has no impact on the architectural integrity of the existing building, which is no longer or not considered historical. And the alteration to the one-story portion would be in the rear. If you grant this lot split and a variance on the setbacks for the yards, then it would be beneficial. I'm trying to think of what else I can tell you about it. It has no industrial impact, of course, and we would comply with all the seismic and fire codes necessary to make the modification on the building in the front and create the parcel in the back. If you have any questions, we have you can see on the plot plan the existing and the adjacent building, which was granted a lot split, shows that we would comply by extending the same same rear lot line, new rear lot line for parcel A. In fact, the surveyor who did the work for the adjacent property had already initiated submitting this in a previous occasion, and that other one was approved in 2010, I believe, but the property was sold, so we'd like to pursue that. That was initiated back then, and have it granted. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Is there any public comment in support of the project?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Sergio. I'm a local realtor in the area. I'm speaking in support of the plan. I just wanted to reiterate that when you go down Hickory Street, right here, there's been lots that have been split. There's three parcels right next to each other, 1, 2, 3, that were built around 2000. They're around two stories high, also with an additional garage on the bottom. And I'm in support of it. I believe that it goes along with the high-density plan that's in the area right now. As you guys are aware, on Oak and Octavia, you have a brand new building that's being constructed there, along with an existing building that was built about a year and a half ago. I believe that was condos that were made there. So I believe that it goes along with the high density plan that's in the area. And I don't see how it would affect any of the neighbors that are there. There's already existing lot splits that are there, and people have built additional housing there in the rear on Hickory Street. Thank you.
Any other public comment in support of the project? Any public comment in opposition to the project? All right. Then I have a quick question for the project sponsor again. I know it's not part of this proposal, but is the idea that in the future there would be some new construction on the Hickory Street lot in terms of adding new dwelling units?
That would be what would be the intent, but not necessarily whether we do it immediately. Right now, our immediate project is to complete the lot split, and we do intend on either proposing that, or if a future owner were to do that, then they could pursue that as well. At the moment, we wish to maintain the existing accessory building there, mm-hmm. So it won't have any construction impact along the street.
Thank you. Sure. It is true there is a pattern of this type of split and development on the lot, and I know that there was one in particular that received a variance in 2008, and the parcel on Hickory Street was limited to only a single-family home, even though it's an RH3 district. So thank you again for your information, and now we'll take this case under advisement as well. Thank you.
Moving to item number 5, case number 2013.0739V, 748 Treat Avenue, parking variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Acting ZA Teague. This is a project where it's a single family. We want to go ahead and add two more units, and we're seeking a parking variance for the a third vehicle. If we were to do this and put this third unit in, a third vehicle parking in, we would be losing the third unit, and housing is critical in the city. We do need housing, so therefore we're asking for the variance for this third space. Also, it is pretty close to public transport, so we're walking distance, so that's why we're requesting this variance.
Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in support of this project? Anyone here to speak in opposition to the project? Okay. Seeing none, then public comment is closed. And project sponsor, just quickly, just to confirm, I don't believe there's been any public comment that we've received on this project. Have you received any comment from any of the neighbors?
No. We did speak with neighbors, of course. We had a pre-op meeting and all that, and everybody's fine with it. It's a street that has, some have parking, some don't, so no one's really concerned about it. As you know, CAT, and that there are also a number of buildings that don't have any parking at all out there, so this is actually a good thing that we're putting parking in, so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I would take this item under advisement as well.
Going to item number 6, case number 2013.0588V, 987 Dolores Street, rear yard exposure and parking variances sought. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Teague. My name is Troy Kashanipour. I am the project architect. I'm here this morning with John Mateo Costanza, who's the owner of 987 through 989 Dolores Street. I'd like to start with a summary of the proposed project. The project involves the demolition of an existing single-story garage structure that is at the rear of the property. The garage structure fronts Quain Alley. The front of the building is on Dolores Street. Quain Alley is characterized by a number of small and mid-size buildings that are accessed from Quain Alley. Some of the uses of these buildings are garage and other are residential uses. I have on the display a Sanborn map. Highlighted in yellow are the buildings that front Quain Alley. Directly behind the subject property is a four-story school building. Immediately adjacent on the corner is a corner lot that fronts 23rd Street. We are seeking today variances for rear yard parking and exposure. As I mentioned, the pattern of development on Quain Alley between 22nd and 23rd contains both residential and garage structures. The block itself does not have a consistent rear yard open space configuration. This is very similar to other mid-block alleys in the immediate neighborhood and is very consistent with nearby Ames Alley. Variances have been approved for similar rear yard structures on Ames Alley for 141, 145, 151, and 155 Ames. The demolition or alteration of this structure is necessary to create access to the parking spaces under the building. The owner wishes, since the building is to be demolished, to expand it in a modest way in order to accommodate a single dwelling unit, which would be relocated from the main building. The existing dwelling unit is about 450 square feet. The owner has met with adjacent property owners, and they seem satisfied with the scale and configuration of the proposed project. The top view shows what the project would look like from Quain Alley and shows approximate heights of adjacent structures. And the bottom view shows what it would look like looking towards the south. The project respects the setbacks of adjacent on adjacent properties and windows of windows that are looking out onto the rear yard from the corner building. The second variance requirement would be for exposure. We have a 23-foot-9 open space between the proposed cottage building and the existing building fronting Dolores, and a 15-foot exposure on Quain Alley. We recognize that this is shy of the 30-foot requirement, but given that the property has two exposures, I don't think it would be suffering from natural light and would cumulatively satisfy the intent of the code. In terms of the parking requirement, the project would provide really access to 5 parking spaces where previously the rear yard garage structure had really only allowed access to 2 inside the structure due to the narrow passageway that a car would have need to traverse. I am available. Excuse me. I'm available for questions.
Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in support of the project? Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to the project? Seeing no public comment, public comment is closed. If you want to hang out for a sec,
sure.
Can you just elaborate a little bit more on the parking situation, kind of how it is now and how it will be? You had mentioned that right now there's basically functionally space for 3 But was that due more to the width of the drive or more to some of the seismic upgrade work?
So as part of a recent renovation, the owners installed a series of steel beams in the area that probably historically was used for parking. There was a garage door on it. It's my understanding that the garage structure was built sometime between 1913 and 1950 based on the Sanborn maps. And it was built in a way with two garage doors fronting Quain, so it could have accommodated two cars. But it didn't really leave a sufficient passageway or driveway for anything except an extremely compact car. I mean, I'm sure a smart car could make it through there. There's, I think, less than 8 feet. If I remember correctly, it's 7'8" or 7'9". For the length of that garage. And I think the fence itself is not quite built on the property line. I think it occurs more on our my client's project. So the real passage width is extremely narrow.
And so the new garage would be able to hold five cars?
Five cars, that's correct.
In the plans, it looks a little tight. To get five cars in there in terms of independently accessible, I think we may just have to look at that a little bit more just to make sure we really nail down the number of kind of co-compliant parking spaces.
Okay.
But that's fine. We can do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will take that item under advisement as well. Thank you.
Item number 7, case number 2013.0800V. 1350 Sanchez Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Hi, good morning. Melissa Goldberg, the owner of the unit. We are hoping to build a bedroom into our currently enclosed patio, it's a sunken patio. A portion of that patio is deemed our rear yard based on the location of our sole neighbor because it's a corner lot. And that our sole neighbor happens to have the smallest block on the yard. If any other house on the yard was our neighbor, it wouldn't be actually our rear yard. It won't impact any of our neighbors. It won't look any different from the street. All the neighbors that we've spoken to are fully supportive. We are hoping to build the bedroom for an expanding family. So we can stay in the neighborhood. And the proposed addition would maintain the required outside space, open space in our patio. We're just proposing to build into half of it. And I have the affidavit of posting. And that's it.
Okay, thank you. Is anyone here to speak in support of this project or in opposition to the project? Okay, seeing none, public comments closed. Just one quick question. So it's my understanding you guys are exploring the potential of adding a roof deck to the garage.
It's a two-unit building.
Right.
We live in the downstairs. Okay. Our neighbor lives upstairs, mm-hmm. So she's proposing that.
Okay.
But she owns it separately. It's a condo.
Because currently on the site, the existing ground floor space that you have is already just deeded to your unit.
Correct.
Right. They don't have access to that open space.
The proposed roof deck, she has full, that's her building rights, mm-hmm. and our access, the patio is entirely deeded to the bottom unit.
Okay.
And she knows what we want to do and is fully supportive, and we know what she wants to do and have no issues with her proposed roof deck.
Okay. Thank you. I will take this item under advisement.
Going to item number 8, case number 2013.0741V, 2722nd Street, rear yard variance sought. Sponsor, you have 5 minutes as well.
Hi, my name is Josh Lowe. I'm the project architect for this project. Good morning. I am here with the owner, Dan Mazzarosi, and we are here seeking a variance for the deck at the rear yard and an adjacent firewall at the rear yard. The variance is to alter the existing non-complying single-family residential building built in 1896, and we are also seeking a variance to encroach into the rear yard for a width of approximately 8 feet, and we're want to encroach into the rear yard 5'6". We have a letter in support of the neighbor directly to the west, which is 2710 22nd Street, and I have that with me. This building is a beautiful building, and we just want to add a deck at the living floor so the owner can enjoy the rear yard. The owner has, in the past, demoed a large garage in the rear yard so he could plant in that current backyard that's there. So this would just be a place for him to enjoy that rear yard.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Anyone here to speak in support of this project? Anyone to speak in opposition to the project? Okay, seeing none, public comment is closed. I'll take this matter under advisement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Going to item number 9, case number 2013-0149V, 1327 to 1329 Kearney Street and 28-30 Sonoma Street. Lot width, lot area, rear yard, and open space variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. I'm Justin Yonker, project sponsor for the owner. The owner is seeking these variances in order to pursue a lot split on his subject property and is following a precedent already set on this block by owners of similar properties, maintaining the character of the neighborhood and not changing any physical aspects of the exterior of the property. The lot is 20 feet in width by 80 feet in depth, developed with a four-story two-family dwelling fronting on Kearney Street and a three-story two-family dwelling with frontage on Sonoma Street. The proposal is to divide the lot into two new lots. No expansion of the existing buildings is proposed. The subject property is a through lot that is 20 feet wide by 80 feet deep. It was developed with two structures, one at either end of the lot, separated by an interior yard approximately 20 feet by 18 feet deep. It is already non-complying with respect to the minimum lot width, minimum lot area, and rear yard requirements. Given the dimensions of the lot, the configuration of the existing structures, and the 45% rear yard requirement, the subject lot cannot be divided into two smaller lots, each containing one structure, in a manner in which both lots would comply with the minimum lot width, minimum lot area, and rear yard requirements. Literal enforcement of the planning code would prohibit the proposed subdivision of the subject lot, which is already non-complying with respect to minimum lot width, lot area, and rear yard requirements. Of interesting note, of the 52 lots on the subject block, 40 are non-complying with respect to both minimum lot width and minimum lot requirements, lot area requirements. The 8 surrounding blocks to the north, south, east, and west of the subject block have numerous substandard lots. The granting of the variances would not create new lots that are out of character with other properties throughout the neighborhood. The granting of these variances would not result in the physical expansion of the existing structures, a change in the number of dwelling units, or any other physical modifications that could adversely impact the adjacent properties or properties in the vicinity. At this point, we've received no public comment, negative or positive, and we believe this will allow the owner to enjoy the increased flexibility of his property in regards to financing and ownership. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone here to speak in support for this project? Anyone to speak in opposition to the project? Please come up.
Thank you.
Yes. You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Yes. My name is Andrea Kay. I live at the 28 and 30 Sonoma property. This property until last year was owned in partnership by two gentlemen. Each one lived in one of the units. When one died, the property was sold during probate. The situation is such that you have a protected tenant in each property. I am protected due to longevity of age and residency, as is the other tenant. And the owner of this property is in North Beach, fairly well recognized as someone who purchases properties and removes them from rental. And my feeling is that by splitting this property in half, it would be infinitely easier to sell a two-unit property, and they are very attractive because they each have parking, to sell a two-unit property to two partners than to try to offload a four-unit to four partners. And I respectfully submit that that is the motivation, as he said, give him some financial flexibility. The other apartments have never been have not been rented full term. I am aware that they have been used for short term vacation rentals. We've had two girls from Canada, three people from St. Louis, and I feel that that is the motivating factor. And when you talk about adversely affecting, it does adversely affect the neighborhood in terms of the character of the neighborhood and the people who live there. And so I am opposed to this.
Thank you. So anyone else? Sorry, project sponsor, you have 3 minutes of rebuttal.
If there's any other...
Oh, sorry, was there any... I'm sorry, I didn't see anyone else. Is there anyone else to speak in opposition? I apologize.
You also have 3 minutes, sir.
Yes, I am Jeffrey Lee, and I live in one of the building apartments in the property. And I'm actually the son of one of the protected tenants, and I'm here to speak on her cause. And my parents lived there for like over 30 years, and recently, last year, the property's been sold, and we've noticed that the apartments upstairs and apartments downstairs is being rented out to like short terms, like vacation rentals. And we noticed like a lot of people coming in and out, a lot of noise. And now they want to like split the lot. And that makes, and we're like afraid that that might make them easier for them to like get rid of us and evict us. And don't know. Same thing.
Thank you. So anyone else here to speak in opposition to the project? Okay, now seeing none, project sponsor has 3 minutes of rebuttal time, if you would like to take it.
No major response to the comments other than that we know that the split of the lot split itself doesn't make it any easier or more difficult to evict tenants. And as far as my understanding at this point, there's no intentions in any regard to the future of the tenants at that property with the current owner. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Now we'll close the public hearing and take this case under advisement.
Moving to item number 10, which we heard earlier because it was moved earlier on our calendar. So we're moving on to item number 11, case number 2013-0864V-333 LC Street, parking variance sought. Project sponsor, please.
Five minutes,
sir.
My name is Benjamin McGriff. I'm the architect for the owner of this property. The existing structure on this property is pretty diminutive and unique in its reduced size and scale relative to the rest of the existing neighborhood and block itself. It's currently held back 19 feet and 1 inch from the front setback, an additional 9 feet 10 inches from the required rear yard setback, an additional 5 feet from one of the side setbacks, which is allowed to be a zero. The proposed design, and the house is also one story. The city's records show it at 800 square feet. The recent survey shows that actually it's closer to 700. The proposal is to add an additional 524 square feet of usable floor area. A small portion of it would be allocated to the first floor to create a dining space and stairway to a new master suite at the rear of the structure on the second floor. The additional mass added to the second floor is held back from view towards the rear of the building and further obstructed or completely obstructed from the street in public view by the existing parapet at the front of the house. This variance is to allow us to not create an additional parking space that is triggered via the Bernal Heights Special Use District. I guess that's it. Without having one existing parking spot, by making a curb cut to create a new one, we're actually taking one away from the street. And this neighborhood already has pretty, this block in particular has pretty generous parking due to a large portion of it being occupied by a reservoir. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone here to speak in support of the project? Anyone here to speak in opposition to the project? Seeing none. Public comment is closed. I'll take this item under advisement. Thank you.
Moving to item number 12, case number 2013.0916V, 915 Ashbury Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Mr. Teague, Madam Secretary. The project seeks to replace existing decks that are currently very shaky and unsafe and perform a seismic upgrade to the rear wall of this two-family residence. It's principally a one-family residence with a legitimized in-law apartment, which has never been rented out, and the family uses it as a family room down in the basement. Here you can see that the current structure, as are most of the structures on this stretch of Ashbury Street, are out of compliance with current code due to change of the code since the construction of this particular property in 1905. Using rear yard averaging in this RH2 district would delegitimize decks and rear wall of the property as it's currently shown. So the proposal is to structurally upgrade the decks, have them ground supported, structurally upgrade the rear wall of the building, rebuild the stair to the backyard. And the one addition is the addition of a spiral staircase from the first floor down to the basement level backyard, the slope going from east to west or right to left on the page. There we received really no comment on the project thus far. There was one letter during the Section 311 mailing from a neighbor who is not immediately adjacent. And my last check-in with Sharon Young at Planning said that there's been no comments so far on the project. It will incrementally improve the situation for neighbors on either side if we do this, because the decks are pulled back tighter towards the building. And the currently required firewalls are going to be in place. So the neighbors seem to be generally happy with that, and that's just anecdotal on my part. So I can certainly take any questions.
Okay, thank you. Anyone here to speak in support of the project or opposition to the project? Seeing none, public comment is closed, and I will take this matter under advisement. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Again, moving to item number 13, which was withdrawn, case number 2013.1041V, 3124 Baker Street has been withdrawn by the project sponsor. So the last item on our calendar, number 14, case number 2013.0896V, 291 Staples Avenue, rear yard and parking variances sought. Project sponsor, please. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Steve Nelson. I am the owner of the property. We're seeking, number one, a rear yard setback variance. We currently have an existing building at the rear of our property located here. There is an alley right behind it that is actually going over our property. It's a right-of-way of some sort. The existing building sticks into the setback requirement of 15 feet, approximately 3 feet. There's 12 feet between the property line and the building now. The building's currently falling into disrepair. We want to improve it. And we want to build another building of approximately essentially the same footprint, but we want to put it on the opposite side of our property with the same relationship to the alley and to the property line that exists now. This building was originally built in 1925. This structure has apparently been there ever since it was built. By moving this structure to the opposite side of the lot, we feel it will vastly improve our property. We feel it will create a buffer to site factors such as fog, wind, and rain, which come from the west down here, that are quite a factor in our neighborhood out in Sunnyside. In addition to protection from the weather, we think that it would offer us more exposure to morning light and midday light, a protected outdoor environment, a sound buffer to traffic on Forrester Street. We also feel in another way that it will mitigate maintenance to the structure. We have our windows on the protected side. All in all, we believe that this is a vast improvement to what we have now and will improve the use, livability, and value of the property. We feel we have a hardship because of this. We have a very constricted site. We also have the same condition occurring with most of our neighbors adjacent and further down. All of the buildings are in the same line along the alley and all go over the setback line. Sorry, I don't have, all I have is a panel, so I wanted to show you the condition of this alleyway. You can see that it's very narrow, and you can see that our neighbor's property is right here. You can see that our adjacent neighbors are all in line. We all have the same condition. And as you go further down the alley, this is looking in the opposite direction. This is the existing property building. We want to move it over here, essentially. So this is sort of a condition that exists throughout the neighborhood. We believe that if we have to comply with the rear yard setback requirement, we'll be experiencing a hardship because we'll be losing that space, which we think is a valuable amount of space in our house. The leftover space that would not be usable in any way, 3 feet between the building and the existing alley. The other thing that we have a problem with that we need a variance for is the removal of off-street parking. Due to the physical and site constraints and narrowness of the alley, which is only 14 feet wide at the back of our property, there's inadequate access to the off-street parking. It's exceptionally difficult to access this area for off-street parking. A standard automobile, such as the one we own, we feel, this is a Subaru. This car is almost 16 feet long. It's 15 feet 9. It's longer than the width of the alley and makes it very difficult to drive in and back out. Also, I wanted to note that the standard size automobile, such as this one, has a 17-foot turning radius, which makes it exceptionally difficult to turn into a 90-degree parking spot from a 14-foot wide alley. This radius is also based on the wheelbase, does not take into account the actual overhang of the car body at front, side, and rear. Accepted parking standards for residential parking and for parking lots recommend a minimum of 20, usually to as much as 29 feet for back out maneuvering space into 90 degree parking spots. We have 35. We have 14. There's another standard that I have here that shows a combined space, including the parking space and the backup space, that shows a varying dimension of 41 foot 9 to 48 feet for standard cars. I got from Architectural Graphic Standards. I have pictures and actually have a video that can support or help show that this is a difficult access to the parking area. Because of the narrowness of this alley and the impact on access, on parking access, there is a greater risk of damage to automobiles and structures, especially when trying to park at times like at night. There is no access for parking on the front of the property either due to topographical restraints. Building is situated about 20 feet above the street and quite a distance from the street. I'd like to say the hardship that we are experiencing here for inadequate access is exceptional and unique to our property and our next door neighbor. Beyond our property, due to lot orientation, the alley widens to 20 to 28 feet, which allows for easier access to parking for the rest of the people on the street. I have a survey that I did . I measured this space between every property along the alley, and ours is the first one at the beginning. It's 14 feet. As you go down three properties, the alley starts to get wider in here, and it gets to actually about 28 feet. So all these folks here have a wider alley to drive into their property that we don't. I'd like to add that this existing structure has not been used for parking since I've owned the property, which is 24 years ago in 1989. My neighbor also has lived there all his life, essentially, and has told me that no one has been able to park in this structure since the 60s. The real problem here is that if this parking structure can't be reasonably accessed, we don't think it makes sense for us to have to put a garage door in the back of this property. We feel the door would compromise the use of the space. Acoustically, in terms of weather, resistance to draft, moisture, and heat loss, we feel that the large opening, if we were made to put that in, would increase the cost of our project, perhaps requiring moment frame, and then there's the additional costs of the door apparatus. We just don't feel like it makes sense when you can't really drive into this space. It's just, I've tried it. I actually have videos of it, and it's just not
easy. Sir,
you're
beyond your 5 minutes.
Okay, so thank you for listening to me.
Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in support of the project? Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to the project? Okay, seeing no public comment, I will close public comment, and I had a couple quick questions.
Sure.
Is the alley one-way or two-way?
Well, the alley's used two-way, but it's only wide enough for one car to pass. It's a constant problem. We have people running into buildings in that first three property lots, and so it's narrow. It's very narrow. You can't pass two cars between
sure.
the two.
Yeah, but it's not specifically designated as one way either way.
Yeah, it's almost like it's not. I'm not even sure if it's a whether it's a public street or not. But there's no. Yeah, there's no designation for being two way or one way either way.
Do you know, does your immediate neighbors that also front on the narrow portion, I see they have these rear structures. Are they garage structures? Do they use them for parking?
They are assumed to be garage structures. To be honest about it, nobody in the first part of the block uses them as garages. I'm not sure if they even have function. Some of them have what looks like a door, but they're not used as garages. And the one directly next to me can't be accessed either. Further down, way down, there are people that actually do use their the building as a garage, although a lot of people don't. They park their cars in front along the side where it's wider. The main problem for me is I'm not really opposed to having an off-street parking spot if I could reasonably access it. I don't feel that it's reasonable to ask somebody to park in the spot. It's too difficult, and therefore I don't feel it makes sense to put a door in it because it will never be used.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not reasonable to expect someone to try and drive into it.
Sure. It may be nice to work with the project planner to see if you can get some more information about the other properties at front on the narrow portion, just to get more information about how they use those spaces.
I can provide photographs or...
Were any of those... I assume at least one of those were... property owners or tenants were contacted as part of the pre-application meeting?
I've had two pre-application meetings. I started thinking about doing this project actually 5 years ago or so. I had a meeting then, had nobody really attended. My neighbor directly next to me on both sides, we had informal discussions about the project. They don't have any problems with it. Neighbor across the street sent me a letter of encouragement. Did have another meeting with this year, earlier this year, and again, same result. I had some informal meetings with my two neighbors directly next to me. They have no problems with it. I did receive a phone call just the other day from my neighbor approximately six doors down that said that they had no problem with it, and they We're just concerned about if it ever did go through, construction-wise, please don't interfere with access to the alley. Other than that, I did have a phone conversation with my neighbor behind who, this was quite a while ago when we first started. They also said that they really didn't have any objections.
Okay. Thank you.
So, do I need to contact my planner then about providing further information?
Yeah, he may contact you as well. Okay. Again, if we may already have those photos in file, and it may also be nice just to have a conversation or a letter from some of those neighbors just to have an indication from them if their spaces are viable or not as well.
Thank you very much.
And with that, I'll take that item under advisement.
Okay.
That was the last item, Mr. Zia.
Thank you. And that then will move us on to general public comment. If there's anyone here who would like to speak publicly about any item or issue that was not on this agenda, now is your time to come up. Okay, seeing no one, then I will close the general public comment and the meeting is adjourned.